Us this morning. Would ask your continued prayers upon us this morning as we try to go to the Word of God. I have a subject matter on my mind contained in the book of Job. If you want to turn there, we'll try to bring some things from there by the grace of God. Before we start, I would certainly encourage us to remember our fathers, those that have passed, to honor our fathers, those that are alive, and to you young folks, obey your fathers. It'll be good for you. One day you'll appreciate that. And the Lord's told us that there's blessings for those that honor their father and their mother. The book of Job is a very interesting book to me, and it starts certainly with a very good narrative concerning Job and what he's about. And it's very explicit in all that he has, all that he does. If you look at the first verse, it identifies that he's from the land of Uz. His name is Job. He was perfect and upright. One feared God and eschewed evil. Man that followed in the precepts, principles of God. And had seven sons, three daughters. And from that, I'm sure Job was a good father. As a matter of fact, if you look at the fourth verse, sons went and feasted in their house, every one his day, and sit and call for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. And I think in that verse it tells us that Job's sons and his daughters, especially his sons, didn't follow in the same precepts or the principles that Job did. And from that, Job being a good father and a good godly man, he prayed for his sons and his daughters. And I don't think it was a prayer like sometimes we pray over a meal that it's kind of condensed and short. I think Job poured out his heart to God about what was happening, because his concern was that they may have cursed God. They may have, in their voices, in their actions, may have cursed God. And so from that, he asked God to forgive them. And I know fathers and mothers in the congregation, and certainly my father and mother probably upon many occasions prayed the same for me, that I would not curse God, whether it was verbally, whether it was in actions, that I would follow in the precepts that I knew that was godly, part of my life. I didn't do that, and I'm sure it caused shame to them, but yet I don't think they quit praying. Here's what Job had. Third verse. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which is 1,000 oxen, 500 she-asses in a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, Job, if you want to look at it, Job had everything. Job was a good man. He was upright. He loved God. He eschewed evil. In other words, he did not participate in evil. He didn't wink at it and say, "It's okay." Job detested it and detested the actions of those that would participate in things that were against God. Then a very interesting thing occurred. Look at the sixth verse. a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, I have looked at that scripture. It occurs twice in Job, 1st and 2nd chapter. And I have looked at that and looked at that, and not until I was questioned by one of my sons in the past couple of years about what that was about, did I really come up with an opinion. Here's my opinion. I think men came to worship God. I think they came to present themselves before God. And that's in essence what we do when we come to worship. We come and we present ourselves to God. We just open up and there we are, there He is. We present ourselves to God. In that same scripture, it says Satan was also there. Now, when we come and present ourselves to God, Satan's in our midst. Satan is with us. He is with us in our thoughts. He's with us sometimes in our actions. He's with us because what he does not want is, number one, us coming to worship God. And number two, us enjoying it. He wants us to have some grudge against somebody or let somebody get in our way. And we do that. We do that because we're human. We're natural. But in this situation, sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan was there. And a very interesting conversation takes place. And from this conversation, it gives us a real understanding, number one, of the power of God, and number two, the power of Satan. Okay, let's look at that. Seventh verse. Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered, from going to and fro of the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Eighth verse. Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now, in this scripture, in this book, one wonders why in the world was God allowing these things to happen to Job. Job was a good man. Job was an upright man. Job loved God. Why in the world would he allow this to happen? And the answer comes rather quickly. It's for us that we can look back on the scriptures and see that here was a man that goes through things that we partially may go through, but more than surely we don't go through everything Job went through. But here's the consideration. God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You know what the answer to that question is? Yes. Yes, Satan's considered him, and God knows that. Have you considered him? And he said, yes. He said, he gives a description of Job. Now, when you look at this, don't you kind of wonder if the situation was God and Satan talking about me and you, what would God say about us? Would he be able to say he's an upright man? He is sure of evil. He's a good man. He loves me. You know, to be very honest, you wonder sometimes what he would say, and then in all humility and all seriousness, we began to consider that we probably would fall way short of what he's saying. But he's saying this about a good man. Then in the ninth verse, Satan answers, does Job fear God for naught? In other words, does Job show reverential respect and love for God for no reason? Look what he says. That's made a hedge about him, and about the house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan's saying, why in the world would he not love you? Look what you've done. You've placed a hedge around. You know what that means? That means that Satan is unable to touch the man. Satan's unable to come against the man. Why? Because the power, love, grace, mercy of God has encased him, and he can't come against him. Job doesn't have a patent upon that situation. Every child of grace, God has put a hedge round about us. His love, His mercy, His grace is round about us that we feel Him constantly. We feel His presence. And in today's society and in today's lifestyle, isn't it a wonderful thing that He has done that? Isn't it a wonderful thing that His love is such that He's encased us, He's placed a hedge round about us, and His love and His power is demonstrated in the grace and mercy that He gives to us. Hast thou made a hedge about Him, His house, His everything? Thou hast blessed the work of His hands, and the substance increased? But here comes the brute, horrible truth from the author of all life. But put forth thine hand now, touch all that He hath, and He will curse thee to thy face. Very interesting to me in this. Here's the power of God and the power of Satan. Satan has no more power than what God allows him to have. And Satan cannot take us to eternal torment because of what we have done, because of what we have said, because of what we have believed, or what we have failed to believe. Satan can't do that, but Satan can touch our lives and make them so horrendous that we're just carried to the muck and the mire of life, and in that we fail to praise God, and when we do that, Satan's won. In this situation, he says, if you just touch us everything that he has, Lord, look at what he's got. Look at the asset base that this man had. Look at what he's got. If you just touch that, the result of it will be he will curse you to your face. And here comes the truth. Lord said unto Satan, 12th verse, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now what's he said? What he said is, Satan, you can touch everything he's got, but you can't touch him. You can't touch his body. You can't touch him spiritually. You can't touch him, but you can touch everything that he has, but you can't touch him. And then the horribleness of the power allowed to Satan begins to come into the forefront. Look what he says, beginning in the 13th verse. A day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine at their elder's house, a message came to Joel. A servant said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped alone to tell thee. And what continues in this is one bad news event after the other. Continues on. Says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, why was it that Satan didn't take them all? You know why? He wanted a witness. He wanted the witness to come to Job and say, look, Job, look what's happened. What's amazing about that scripture to me is how men blame God for things that happen. You take the event of that precious little boy the other day, that two-year-old boy that an alligator come and took him and do what alligators do, and the boy died. You look at that. You know what some people will say and what some people think? They will say, why in the world would God allow something like that to happen? You see, because they think that's the end of everything. That's all there is. That's all there is. But in the truth and reality, the alligator come and took the boy away because that's what they do. And the boy died because of the horrible event. And certainly God could have caused it to stop. But you know what's better than that? When that soul and spirit came from that little boy, guess where it went? It went to heaven and immortal glory. No more fear. No more pain. No more sorrow. That boy didn't have to grow up marred for the rest of his life. And I'm not saying that's a good event. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, people want to blame God for everything. And that's what we see here.
said the fire came from heaven. Who brought the fire? God didn't bring the fire. Satan brought the fire. It just happened to come from the sky. And it consumed all the sheep and all the servants. And only one was left. God didn't do it. Satan did. Go on with me. 17th verse. Notice, while he was still speaking, another came. Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I escaped along to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, comes the most horrendous news that any father can give. Look what he says. That last servant still speaking. Sons and thy daughters. Here comes another servant that says this. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead. They're dead. And I am escaped alone to tell thee. You can take the cattle. You can take the camels. You can take the sheep. But when it comes to, as a father and or a mother, when it comes to the life of the child, no matter the age, no matter how old they have become, when the terrible news comes, they are affected, and they are affected terribly. One question real quick. Look at that scripture. Look at the 19th verse. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. Now, what does that make you think? Some kind of cyclone, some kind of big, and it come from the wilderness. Well, who's in the wilderness? Well, I'll tell you exactly who's in the wilderness. Satan's in the wilderness. And he allowed the great wind to come and blow upon the corners of the house, fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I'm escaped alone to tell thee. What do you gain from that? You know what I gained from it? The young men died. His daughters didn't die. I have heard it said that all of his children were killed. That's not what the Scripture say. Scripture said the young men died. Whether that matters a lot or not, I don't know. But I just bring that to your attention. We are so quick to add things to the Scriptures when they're not really there. Okay, go on with me. Here's what's happened. Satan's talked to God. God's talked to Satan. I gave him permission to touch everything he has. And what does Satan do? He touches everything that he has. What's the end result? In the 20th verse, Job arose, rent his mantle, which was the custom of them at that day and time, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and cried like a baby. It's not what it says. What does it say? It says he worshipped. Isn't that amazing? The reality of everything that was taken from him, the horribleness of what all was taken, and the end result was a man of God that hates evil, that loves the God, who's upright. Here's how he responds. He rents his mantle, he shaves his head, which was a custom of the time, and he fell down and he worshiped God. Let me tell you, friend. It takes tremendous grace and mercy from the hands of the Lord to face such horrible things in life and to fall down and worship and to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever you want for me is what I'll do. Whatever road you want for me to take, Sister Kathy, is what I'll take. Well, whatever you want in life for me, rest of the church, is exactly what I'll do. I won't be satisfied in my will, but I'll be completely satisfied in your will. I had a conversation the other day. I tried to call. I have a brother that's not a brother. It's a minister, and he and I are very close. He's as close as I probably could be to a brother. He had a situation that happened several years ago, ministering a church in Arkansas, and things were just... were real bad, not at the church, but in his business. He had started a business and it went bad and went under and just didn't know what he was going to do. He called me from, I was coming through Loveville, had just come through Loveville, going home, he calls me. He said, "You never guess where I am." I said, "No, I don't guess I know." He said, "I'm in Love Field." I said, "What are you doing there?" He said, "I'm headed to Austin." "What are you doing down there?" He said, I've got a job offer." I said to him, "I am so excited for what lays ahead for you." And he didn't understand what I meant. Matter of fact, the other night he said, "I'll never forget when you told me that. I got plumb angry at you. What do you mean you're so excited?" I said, "I've been through that. I've done that. I know. And it's amazing when God takes our lives and He leads us in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake." I said, "The result of it is amazing. Amazing." I said, you're just going to stand one day in great awe of what the Lord has done for you. Friend, that's how our God is. And when hard times come, we're just like Job. We should fall down. We should take everything that's worth of anything and set it aside and just be to Him and worship Him. What does that word worship mean? Well, if you go to the Hebrew in this, it will tell you that it's just like a dog coming up and licking its master's hand. That's what we worship. We fall down in the lowest position. We take everything else away from us. You that are holding your children this morning, what a blessed sight you are. But may I say this? How many times has the Lord held you just like that? How many times has the Lord, in great times of sorrow, great times of need, great times of catastrophe, has the Lord just taken you and held you close just like you're holding your child? And that love that you have for Him is tainted by this. We're all sinners. But God's love is sinless. And He holds us. And we worship Him. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to get near where I wanted to get to this morning. But we'll just go on and see what happens. Go to the second chapter. Here's the next event in the life of Job. Job has lost everything. Job doesn't have anything left that he did before. His sons are dead. All the livestock is gone. Everything that he had that was anything is gone. And now the scenario repeats itself. That the sons of God present themselves before God and Satan's in their presence. And the Lord says this. Now, don't even begin to think the Lord's bragging. What He's doing is stating fact. Second verse. The Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" He said that twice. Don't for a minute think that He doesn't know where Satan is. Don't for a minute think that he doesn't know what Satan's doing. But look what Satan admits to him. Satan answered the Lord, second verse, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Isn't that amazing? You know, Satan was doing that. Satan does that. Satan still does that. Satan will always do that until we all go home. He is going to always affect our lives. And as much as we prepare ourselves for His onslaughts, the better off we're going to be for. Well, how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you exactly how we do that. We get as close to God as we can. We're right next to it. We take everything that would hinder us from worshiping Him, and we set it aside, and we focus on Him. Brother Webb, I don't know if we can do that. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can't. Because that's what we're made to do. All these other things have been added. All these other things, we've brought them in. We've incorporated them into our lives. But what He has made us to do is to worship Him. Be close to Him. I used to think, when I wouldn't call my dad, how disappointed he must be. Times that I could have called him just out of the blue. "Dad, how are you doing? Dad, how's life treat you?" My dad had heart trouble a good part of his life. It was brought on by some rheumatic fever when he was a teenager. And so his heart was damaged. And so he had his second open heart surgery. And dad was a smoker, had smoked most all of his life. and the surgery went well, but he never got off the respirator. And from January of that year to July of that year, he was on the respirator. I'm an only child. He had remarried. My mom had passed. And so my stepmother and the doctor said, we've got to do something. What do? One of the easiest decisions I have ever made. I didn't have to consult with anybody. I didn't have to go off by myself for a while. What I knew was Dad would love to go home. He had preached about it for years. It had been the focal point of his life. Dad would want to go home. So they took the respirator off of him, and he lasted a couple of days, and then he was gone. And now today, I yearn to be able to see him one more time, to be able to talk to him one more time, to be able to get some of his silly counsel one more time. My dad was a philosopher, and he wasn't a real good one at that, but he was nevertheless. And he would say some things sometimes when you hear it, you just had to shut your throat up to keep from laughing. But I'd love to hear it one more time. I'd love to. When I turn that and think how often our Father in heaven would love to hear from us, and we don't do it. I know it's Father's Day, but it's the Lord's Day every day. It's His day every day. He's done everything for us. If you have anything in this world at all, He's given it to you. And if you don't have anything and you hope to have something, that hope better be in Him, because that's where it'll come from. How long has it been since we have just stopped our busy lives? Every one of us are swamped. Every one of us have a lot to do. Every one of us have hard decisions and have financial issues and have different things that affect our life. But how long has it been since we have just stopped individually or as a family or as a church or as preachers or as deacons or as fathers and mothers and just had open communication to Him and say, Lord, I love You. Lord, I need You. Lord, center my life on You. And as long as I have life, Lord, You be the focal point of it. Let me look less to Fox News and less to CNN and less to the morning paper or less to the things on the internet that will scare You to death. And Lord, let me look into Your throne room and see You. Second verse, Lord says, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered, from going to and fro in the world. And the Lord said unto him, fact, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And look what he says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. You know what's amazing? How few people today have godly integrity. How many people will tell you today something and not do it, or make some vow to you or to somebody or to the church or wherever and just turn their back. Isn't it amazing? This nation, if it needs anything in the world, is men and women with integrity that can say one to another, I've got you back. I got you. If you need something, you can count on me. You can count on me. Gotta hurry. And he says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, he will curse thee to thy face. Do you notice what he said? Touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Have you ever had a boil? You ever had one? When I was a kid, I had a boil. You ever had a carbuncle? Carbuncle is like two or three boils in one spot. It's terrible. It's terrible. I wouldn't wish that on my enemies. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But you know what causes, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical provider, but I know something about this. You know what causes a boil? It's a problem, an infection on the bone, and it shows itself on the flesh. Did you hear what he said? He said, touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And what happens? Job is covered by boils. He doesn't just have them on his arm. He doesn't just have them on his back. Every square inch of his body, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, are covered in boils. He cannot sit down without pain. He cannot breathe without pain. He cannot walk without pain. They cover him. And that's Job's situation. You may not have ever heard Elder John Henry Thrower. He was a minister from Oakland, California. And I loved hearing him. As a matter of fact, I've kind of learned some things from him on how to address sermons. But you know what he said about this? He said, Job had a case. You know what he means? He had problems. He had a serious problem. His problem is that he's covered in boils, and his every moment of his life is full of pain. So what did he do? Eighth verse. He took a potsherd, which is a piece of pottery, and he scraped his flesh. Now, come on now. You put yourself in this. He scraped the boils. He scraped his flesh. That's the only way he's getting any type of comfort. And he sat down among the ashes. And then comes his wife. I got probably a different view on this than how I've heard it preached some before. And I guess it comes from this. I have been by the bedside of men that were dying. Men that were the last moments of their life. And I have heard the wife come to their bedside and say, darling, it's okay. You can go home. You ever been there? You may not have been there. I've been there. Darling, it's okay. You can go home. You know what they were doing? They were giving them permission to die. You can go home. We will miss you. We love you. But we'll be okay. We'll be all right. And then before long, that individual passes on. Here comes Job's wife. And here's what I think she's doing. I think she's saying to him, Job, here's an out. You take this out, Job. I don't want to see you in agony anymore. I don't want to see you in pain anymore. Job, I'm giving you permission, if you need it, to die. Just curse God and die. Curse God and die. Seemed like it was pretty easy. Didn't it seem like the answer was pretty easy? But a man that's upright, and a man that loves God, and a man that hates evil, and a man that constantly is seeking to be in the presence of God and loves God so much, will answer like this. 10th verse, 2nd chapter. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. That Job, he's got some nerve, doesn't he? You speak as one of the foolish women. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Look at the brilliance. Look at the beauty of that. Are we living life thinking we're only going to receive good from the hand of the Lord? Are we living life thinking that everything's going to be just fine? Are we living life that we don't think problems are going to occur? If it is, then you hadn't heard Christ speak in the Gospel of John when he says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's the Christian's crutch, if you will. There's what we hold on to. We're going to have problems. We're going to have bad situations. We're going to have things happen to us. We're going to have little children are killed. We're going to have them either killed in car wrecks, or we're going to have them killed at the hands of terrible parents, or we're going to have them killed by some other means, by terrible people. We're going to have that. Christ said that. Be of good cheer, though. Why? I've overcome the world. It doesn't end in the world. There is hope. The next time we get together, we'll try to speak on that hope. I thank you for your attention. I ask you to pray for me and mine when at the throne of grace. As we stand and sing some suitable hymn, there are those that have a desire to join the church that will take that opportunity. Anybody have a selection? Let's sing Amazing Grace. Stand if you will.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my ears ringing. How precious did that grace appear. sings my soul, I sing, dear God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you for being here today. Certainly enjoy being with you, and we have lunch left for all to stay. Pray the Lord continue to bless you through the week. Any announcements? Yes.
Next Saturday we have a cookout. The kids can play and guys can grill. And I think the hot dog and hamburgers will be provided, so I'll just sign up for sides, chips, drinks, whatever.
Next Saturday about 4. Okay. I would also ask you to pray for Carol and I. I've got a business trip to Tulsa and then to Kansas City. And Carol's going to go with me. We're going to spend a little time up with Brad and Jill to see them, see how they're doing. And we'll be coming home, try to come home Friday. So please pray for us. But if it's over into Saturday, we'll still try to be here in time for the cookout. So anything else, anybody?
Did you mention Brother and Sister Cole?
Oh.
Yeah, they
left. Yeah, Brother and Sister Cole, he had gotten out of his car and was coming on his little deal, and he wasn't doing well. And it looked like he was going to fall a couple times, so we helped him get back in the car, and they left and went home. His name is Darrell, I think that's right. So please pray for him and for her. Sweet, sweet couple. And they moved here 2 or 3 years ago to be close to family. They did live up around Amarillo. And please pray for them and pray for him especially. Thank you. Anything else? Brother Buster, would you dismiss us with prayer?
Lord, thank you for the message today. Lord, the message was so beautifully received, we hope. Lord, the great deceiver is powerless because you are the great redeemer.
Yes.
Lord, we love you. Lord, we should love you more. Lord, we pray for people who want to be here. Lord, we pray for people who you want to be here. Lord, there's so many people that need your word in this world. Lord, this world just needs so much healing. Lord, we just pray that you bring your healing hand down upon us. Lord, let us go and worship you through this week and say it was good to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen.